people, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining. People, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
I want to talk with you about if you struggle, and by that I mean struggle mentally, and by that I mean, because we all do, ruminating thoughts or difficulty in getting yourself happy, because I've discovered a really, really, I would say, extreme thing to do. It's not really. The doing of the thing is not really the extreme part. It's extreme in that most people won't do it. And yet if you do do it, it will make you very, very, very happy, and it'll take your focus off of yourself. So if you're interested, I invite you to continue to listen. And if you'd like, I also invite you to share this with other people. And I'm going to tell you about it by telling you about a guy who used to work with me in radio. I began by sending out my love and appreciation to Woody Windham. And as a result, I ended up going to my wanting to be in radio. I ended up going into radio, and I managed a radio station when I was 27 years old. I don't think I managed it well. I walked around blindly, not knowing what I was doing. But the universe brought me some pretty amazing people. And one of those people was probably the happiest person I know. Do you notice that even as I think of this man, I begin to smile? I can't help it. It's reflexive. His name was Stan Knowles. Now, Stan was a former NBC announcer, weekend announcer, who had moved to the coast of North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina, and had retired, but missed doing something. And our radio station was so small. And we, instead of having like 4-hour shifts, we had 8-hour shifts because we couldn't afford, we had to get people to work like regular jobs. And so we hired Stan. We were very fortunate to hire Stan. Now, he came in and everybody instantly liked him. And Stan would do this thing that I'm going to recommend that you do. Now, before I tell you the story and tell you what Stan did, because Stan had his own version of doing the thing, I'm going to tell you about David Sedaris. There's Jason Sudeikis and there's David Sedaris. David Sedaris is an author. I remember hearing his book on audio, Me Talk Pretty, sometime, something like that. It was lines similar to that. Anyway, he has a master class in the Master Class program, and I have been listening to him. And he's very open and upfront about his anxiety issues, his challenges in life, and that's what makes him so appealing. And he actually writes in his journal, and then he gets paid to go talk to full auditoriums and just literally read from his journal because his take on life is so unusual and so quirky. And it's also an expression of pain. It's an expression of pain in his life. So what do these people do? What is it that they do that is so different? Well, David Sedaris has a lifestyle very similar to that of Hemingway. Hemingway would get up every single morning and he would write for 6 hours from 6 a.m. until noon. And then he would take off. Well, David Sedaris does the same thing, but here's what he does. He writes from about 6 a.m. until noon every single day. Then he has lunch, and then he goes out. He lives in Paris. Actually, he's in England now. He used to live in Paris. But wherever he lives, he does this. And think about this, all right? This man is famous. This man is wealthy. Now, you've probably never heard of him, but he's famous enough. He sold millions of books. He's a regular commentator or does things on NPR, The New Yorker, etc. And after his workday ends, because he knows that just sitting around and ruminating about himself would make him miserable or possibly lead to, and I'm projecting here because of these books I'm reading, but, you know, impulsive behavior maybe, or unhappiness because he struggles with depression. What he does is he walks around the streets and picks up trash. That's it. For 7 hours a day, this famous man becomes a custodian for the city. He gives to other people without any expectation because it's a way of taking the focus off of him and putting it on to others. Many times when I would ask a radio announcer at the station to do something, it would get done, and then I would discover it was Stan that had done it. The man I told you, the former network announcer, Stan Knowles. Stan would always do things for people. If somebody had something to be done, Stan would volunteer to do it. And I got that same idea. You know, a lot of people retire and then they get kind of grumpy. Stan retired and then went back to work doing something he loved. And do you know how much we paid him? I'm embarrassed to say, $200 a week. And he worked like 48 hours a week. And here's the other thing Stan would do. We never ran out of supplies at the radio station. My office was 30 miles away. The physical broadcast studio was 30 miles south out in Southport, North Carolina. I was in Wilmington, North Carolina. No one ever said, hey, Will, we need cleaning supplies. No one ever said we needed toilet paper. No one ever said we needed coffee. And so I never thought about it. I just, when I went down there, there always was some. Stan was taking that little $200 a week before taxes, and he was buying the stuff for the radio station. Why? Because it simply made him feel good. Now, there's a lot of people who walk around the streets of Paris and London who look at the trash and complain about it, and they add that to the internal ruminations about how their life sucks and it's terrible to be them. And yet what David Sedaris did was he made a decision not to let the devil have his idle hands and instead take his idle hands and do something to improve where he lived and everyone else. I have a friend who moved into an apartment, and she liked the fact that looking off of her little balcony, she looked into the woods. And there was a little fence there between her and the woods. And what she found out was that a lot of people would throw their trash and it would just get blown up against the fence. And she began to feel resentful at first. And then she decided, this is my view. What can I do to improve my view? I can't stop these people from throwing trash. Maybe I could, but I don't want to burn bridges with my neighbors. So instead, she put on a pair of rubber gloves, walked out there with a trash bag, and within 20 minutes had picked everything up. And now she does it maybe once a month. One of the things that I did is there's a giant, like oversized terracotta pot. It's probably 4 feet tall that's down in the lobby here. And there's nothing in it. It's empty. And so I went out and I bought a plant. And I went down there and I planted it. And then I realized, now I'm going to be the one taking care of this plant. And I decided that's a good thing. That's my little contribution. And then I looked around and we've got this beautiful concrete fountain. And I've built fountains, I've built waterfalls. And I thought to myself, I'm going to fix this fountain. I'm not going to ask anyone and no one's going to ask me. I'm just going to do it. So what can you do to improve your environment? What can you do to make things better? One of the things back when I was dating this woman who lived in Miami, she lives in Brickell, which is one of the more expensive areas. It's an expensive area. They're all expensive. There's a lot of expensive areas in and around Miami. But it used to just amaze me to walk out into the marina there and see all these yachts and the waterline was floating with garbage and trash all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what, instead of feeling this way, I should get a trash bag and get one of those little arm things and start picking it up, but never did. I think I'm going to find another way to contribute to my environment. So ask yourself, how might you contribute to your environment instead of not enjoying it? What can you do to make you feel better by giving yourself to others, very possibly in a way that is not you? In other words, it's easy for me to give myself away as a mentor to somebody who wants to be an author or somebody who wants to be a speaker. But to do something totally different, like go outside and plant flowers, even though I pay money, you know, you could look at it and say, well, I pay a whole lot of money every single month that goes for landscaping and somebody, you can do that. Now you can take responsibility and improve your environment. So if you'd like to see your environment improved and the environment of other people, please click share right now. Share this message. And when you do, type share in the comment section. And if you have any comments you want to make, like if this tipped off anything for you as an idea that you might try, let me know what it is. Let me know what you think you might do. What is it that you think you might do to improve your environment and to make yourself less into yourself? One of the things that I did too was, I bought all these plants, right? I went and I bought all these beautiful plants. I bought orchids. I bought flowering plants because I love plants and I'm good with plants. I've always been good with plants. I don't quite understand when people say, oh, I'm terrible with plants. You give them a little bit of water once a week, give them a quarter turn and make sure they're getting the right amount of sunshine. That's just about all I've ever done. Anyway, I bought all these plants and I realized that they need direct sunlight for several hours a day. Well, the challenge is, as you can see, this is my apartment and it is, I'm looking out into bright sunlight on the bay right now, but the light does not come in here, which is great because it keeps everything from getting too hot. It does in the summertime, but right now and for most of the year, it doesn't. So what did I do? I had all these plants and I had them scattered around and they were doing well, but they weren't just, you know, thriving. And so I decided to make a plant, arrangement right outside my front door. I just lined and just put all these multi layers of flowering plants. And it's gorgeous when you walk up or when you walk by. And I did that too. At first I was like, well, I don't get to enjoy it as much as the neighbors do. And then I thought, that's kind of the point then. Give it away. Give it away. I had a good friend who, one of the things he decided to do was cut his neighbor's grass. His neighbor thought that his own grass never grew past a certain point. Because what my friend would do is he would go out and literally cut this guy's grass whenever the guy would go to work every single day. I just love that idea. We talked about this. Who? Look at all the share. We got more shares. I can say this, and no one, I hope, will take offense. We've got more shares than an international drag queen contest. I can say that because my brother ran the biggest gay bar in South Carolina and we had lots of drag queen contests and there was always a share. Meemaw says share. Jerry says, what a great topic. Jerry says shared. Thank you so much. Linda shared. I can absolutely relate to this, says Jerry. Shared and got my cycling group to adopt a trail to keep clean here in Colorado Springs. As I've said before, altruistic hedonism. I feel great doing good. That is awesome. One of the things I want to do now that things are opening up is to put together a vegan meetup group. I'm never, that's M-E-E-T, not meat. Anyway, I never ever try and encourage people to be vegan because it's none of my business. But there are a lot of us around and it's just fun to meet people and share recipes. And I love to cook and I get tired of cooking for just me. When we do our seminar, who knows, maybe I'll cook dinner for everybody. All right. Thank you, Will. Thank you for a beautiful day and plans to enjoy with my hubby. Wonderful, everybody. Thanks for joining me. And listen, thank you for clicking share, all of those of you who do. And make sure that you are here with me tomorrow. I'm going to go get my COVID shot. Love y'all. Bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high.